Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Heather Creekmore. Heather is on the show today talking about aging gratefully. Aging and grateful, those are two words you don't usually see in a sentence together. Culture tells us that aging involves wrinkles, extra pounds, arthritis, and graying hair. And its answer to aging's many problems? Fight back. And we do, wearing ourselves out physically, emotionally, and spiritually in the process. But the Bible speaks about aging differently, that each year is a gift from God. Join us as Heather talks about aging gratefully. She is offering us humorous encouragement and sincere hope for this stage of life by pointing us each day to something we have to be thankful for in our current seasons. She guides you in prayer, giving words to your practice of gratitude, and then gets you moving to put your Thanksgiving into action. Tune in to find reasons to laugh out loud, reminders to live abundantly, and a solid rationale for why aging and grateful really do belong together. Well, hi, Heather, and welcome back to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you again.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Rachel. It's great to be here.
So time must fly when we're having fun, because we were talking, we're like, has it been 2 years? Has it been 3 years since the last time that you were on the show? And you talked about compared to who, and it all about body image. And you know what? Here's the reality. We're still talking about comparison and body image and like the same type scenarios. And so this is something maybe that you've not quite mastered, but something that still is that you are working through and are going to help us work through. And so for those that aren't familiar with you, I'd love for you to tell them, I want to encourage them to all go and listen to the previous episode, but also just give us like a little bit of your backstory to familiarize everyone with you.
Yeah. Well, I am talking about body image and aging, and more surprised than anyone that this is what I do full time, because this was a struggle for me pretty much from elementary school on, where I was struggling, maybe not with aging then, but I was struggling with body image issues and thinking about how to make my body look better. And, you know, I mean, Rachel, I had jobs in politics, and I, you know, had a career. But this like secret struggle of mine was always there, always present. I was raised in the church. You know, I knew that like God looked at my heart, not my jean size and all the things. I was fearfully, wonderfully made. But the secret struggle is always there. So, you know, right now I am podcasting and writing books and talking to women all the time about this. I'm a pastor's wife. We've got four teenagers. And yeah, but it's funny the way God uses our hurt and our brokenness to really minister to other people. And so that's kind of my backstory, is that he's used something that was the biggest challenge in my life in many ways and turned it to an opportunity for me to minister his love.
Yeah. I'm so excited about today's conversation, just because I struggle with body image. I struggle with comparison. I struggle with aging. You know, just the other day, I told my daughter, who's a teenager, and I said, I just want to age gracefully. Mm-hmm. You know, you've created a devotional about aging gratefully. And so you've taken this familiar saying for many people, and something that just came out of my mouth last week, and you have kind of flipped it on its head. And so I'm so excited about today, and I know everybody listening will be too. But before we get to that, you actually also have a 40-day body image workbook. So tell us about this resource.
Yeah, so the 40-day body image workbook is, I'm going to say, the resource that I wished I had had when I was really struggling with body image, because I read all the books. I mean, I'm a researcher. And so if there was a way to solve this body image issue, like I wanted to know it, but I never felt like I got meaty enough answers. You know, like I was reminded of the truth of scripture. I was reminded, you know, that God made my body good, but I didn't get deep enough in my own processing to find out like why I was stuck and where I was stuck. So this workbook is going to take you deep. And I mean, you can just read it. You can just go through and read it like a book. And I think you'll still get something out of it. But it has questions throughout, some quizzes, some little diagnostic, you know, assessments. So you can really find out where you're stuck, why you're stuck, and hopefully be on a new path by the end of the book to feeling better about your body because of what the Bible says about it. And, you know, the biblical truth supporting that versus just kind of the messages of culture that are like, you should just feel good about your body because it's your body and you should be proud of it. And, you know, all of those things. It's not that. It's grounded in truth.
And I love that and respect that so much about you that you do come with it with a research background, a mental heart, and then also that spiritual biblical backing. And so as we get into aging gratefully, a 30-day devotional, as we go back to thinking about my conversation with my daughter, Kate, I'm like, why is it that we resist and hate getting older so much? Because none of us want to, if we're being honest, but yet it's inevitable. We're going to every single right. moment of every single day. We're getting just a little bit older. It's the reality. Right. Why do we hate it so much?
Right. I think because it's completely out of our control. Right. I think, some of us know we're controlling, but it's like, for most of us, it's like, oh, there's just this little part of me that wants to believe that I am in control of everything. And when aging happens, let me actually even say that better, Rachel, because I think we respect that God's in control, right? We respect his sovereignty. But I think there's a little bit of a theological wrestling that most of us go through where it's like, well, if it's going to be, it's up to me, you know, and I'm going to take charge and I'm going to do it and I'm going to master this. And I mean, we live in the United States, right? Where it's like, you can make anything happen. And as kids, we watch Sesame Street and we're told, like, be anything you want to be, do anything you want to do, like the sky's the limit. And so we've got all this like messaging and encouragement and inspiration around like, yes, you're going to make this beautiful life. And then aging happens. It's like, wait a second, I don't have control over that anymore. Like, why does this part of my body hurt? Or why is this like part of my head, my hair look different? Why do I have these little lines on my face? Like, I didn't plan for that. And so I think it's a real contradiction to a lot of the messages that we receive. And then even, you know, goodness gracious, your Instagram feed looks like mine. Like every 5 ads is some way for me to stop aging, right? Either I'm going to stop having my belly pooch out or I'm going to stop the wrinkles or like it's something to solve my aging problem as if I have control over it. But yeah, I don't think we do. Yeah. You know, a little bit, but not the way we're told we do.
I know. It is. And it's true. It's like we compare, going back to your other messaging, it's like we compare our lives now to what we used to be able to do when we were younger. Like even today, I was at the gym and my knee started hurting for no reason. I was doing the same exercises I always do. And I'm like, where did this come from? You know? And then I've got more gray hair and I've got more wrinkles and I've got more cellulite and, you know, my jeans don't fit as well as they used to. And it is, it's hard. And especially you can start to see other people that maybe don't seem like they're struggling, in that way. And so you're right. And then the ads, and it's a constant bombarding and a constant pressure, both from outside influences and even in our own heads. And so what have you found as you've been researching and writing? What are some of the most common lies women believe about aging?
Well, you know, I think they all kind of fall under a big umbrella. And that umbrella is that if I look older, then I'm not going to be as relevant. Right? That we are aging out of relevance and that aging is scary because people don't respect you as much when you're older. People don't look at you as much when you're older, right? Like I've had lots of conversations with women about feeling invisible, right? Mm-hmm. And especially if body image has been an issue for you for a long time, right? I mean, it's not a pretty thing that we do, but I think a lot of your listeners can probably relate to the fact that when you struggle with the way you look, there's a certain amount of comfort that we take in other people's affirmations of us. Like, oh, you look nice today. Oh, you look cute today. I like rich. But the older you get, the less of that comes, right? And you know, especially with teen daughters, I don't know if this has been your experience, Rachel, but it's a weird thing to have, like, my daughter is wearing some of the clothes that I wore like 10 years ago. And it's a weird thing to recognize that I'm trying to think of like a good way to say this, but it's like she's in the stage of life now where her beauty is flourishing physically. Right? Sure. And it's a weird thing to be the like, oh, wait, I'm the mom in the picture now. Right? Like no one looks at the mom in the picture. Right? But it's like, oh, like that's not where I'm at in life anymore. And we have a choice, I think. Right? Right? We have a choice to say, oh, I'm not going to be the beautiful one, the one everyone's noticing, the, you know, that's not why I'm going to be noticed or appreciated anymore. And do I get upset about that and start to chase that and whatever I can do to get back to my youth? Okay, I got to get the body back. I got to get the wrinkles gone. I got to get the hair. I got to get back to my youth. Or do I say, wow, this is a new season of life, right? And hopefully now I've had more years, more decades that God's been able to cultivate my inner beauty so I don't have to rely on my outer beauty as much, right? Because as the outer beauty fades, if our inner beauty can flourish, and then at the end of the day, right? Like none of us are like, you know what? When I think about my grandma, you know, I just think, wow, she was really hot. Like, no, like no one says that, right? You're like, oh, I loved my grandma because she was always kind and, you know, and she always had nice things to say to me and encouraged me and she, you know, made us good food. Or like we remember those kinds of things about the women that really have an influence in our lives. And so aging is our opportunity to grow into being that kind of woman, the woman who is going to truly have an impact and an influence in others' lives instead of the woman that just shows up and looks good, which, you know, not that was all we ever did, but that was my focus, I know for sure.
Gosh, I think it was even last night, Heather, my husband, we were talking, I don't even know what it was, but he said something like, gosh, I sure don't look like I used to when we got married. I think it was because our anniversary is actually coming up next week. Maybe okay. That was the topic of conversation. I'm like, well, neither do I. I mean, it's been 20 years. A lot has changed in the last 20 years. And so I think there's an even element of that for those of us that are married. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, like, I'm sorry. I don't quite look like I did when we first got married. But gosh, when we're 60 and 70 and 80 and 90 right. and hopefully still married and still living, you know, of right. course we're not. But to your point, I think we do put so much emphasis in our culture on outer beauty. And it's just, and it's true. And I'm even just thinking, as you mentioned, that our teenage daughters and my teenage son, how often are we complimenting our children and even other people on that outer appearance and then validating that and helping them find their identity in that as opposed to that inner beauty that you were talking about. And so that's a challenge for me. Have you found that you're starting to parent a little bit different or even just treat your friendships differently?
Yeah, well, in the parenting department, I feel like since I've been studying this for so long, like I've been more sensitive to that. In fact, I may even need to turn up the volume a little bit on my affirmation of you are beautiful, because I've been so careful to make sure that it's other attributes, other character traits that, you know, we're applauding. That's, I try to be really careful when it comes to friendships because I feel like we have spent so many decades, you know, as women talking about our bodies and like what we're doing to change our bodies. And so I've kind of tried to back away from those conversations and really be the kind of friend that's not always noticing everyone's weight and bodies. And, you know, I will compliment a dress or, you know, a new hairstyle, but trying to really let my friends know that I love them for more than just the way they look. And that's not important to me. So yeah, but it you know, it's cultural, right? Like if you're the only one in the circle not talking about trying to lose weight or trying to get rid of your wrinkles or what you're doing to, you know, change this part of your body, like that's unusual.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is. And I mean, just because, again, like you said, we're all these images and all these ads and every store, like, and this is just the other day too. So I have I'm losing hair. And so I bought this hair density serum. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also getting more wrinkles, like I mentioned. So I bought like a retinol. Mm-hmm. These two bottles look very similar. So one increases hair growth, mm-hmm. uh-huh. and the other is supposed to decrease wrinkles. The other morning I was so tired and I grabbed the hair density serum and put it all over my face.
Oh no!
I'm like, no! And finally I realized, I'm like, no, I don't want hair on my face, no!
No.
I thought, isn't this just like, I mean, here I am trying so hard and I'm going to end up with like a beard. So.
On your forehead.
On my forehead. That's exactly right. So all that to say, you know, beyond the serums and creams and, you know, all the routines and exercises, what are some practical steps that we can actually take to just make peace with aging? It's okay to, and I really want to say, I do think, and I want to hear if you agree with this. I actually do think it's a good thing to steward your body well.
Sure.
Our bodies are God's temple and we should take care of ourselves and be healthy. But like there's a, I don't know, and maybe that's the gray area. Like when is too much and when is not enough, not enough. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that I call it in the 40-Day Body Image Workbook, instead of living in the gray, I call it living in the grace, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think if it becomes an obsession, that's too much. If you're spending all day long thinking about it, that's too much, right? Like our lives can't be about fixing our bodies or being the healthiest person we can be. Like not that that's a bad thing, but if that's what your life's about, you're missing out. Like it's, you know, the verses in Luke and in John, I think it is about, you know, whoever tries to save his life will lose it. Like that's kind of what that feels like to me. If I'm chasing like how to be younger, how to, you know, do everything just right, it for me especially becomes an obsession and I miss out on what I'm really here for. So we have to live in the grace, right? Like you do the best you can without it being the mission of your life.
So Rachel, is that how we make peace with it? I mean, that
was, yes.
Sorry.
That was, I was like,
no, I asked 10 questions all at once. So
making peace. Yes. When you were saying something earlier, this thought came to me, but it's like, I think we're all okay with aging when we think about that image of like being in the rocking chair with our spouse at like 75 or 80. Right? Like we're okay with that image. But I think somehow in our twisted brains, we think we can just go from like wherever at now to like, and then someday when I'm 80, I'll be fine with it and I'll just show up and be an old person. Right? So it's like the process is what I think we wrestle with. Right? And it's slow. And so how do we make peace with it? Well, I think we have to recognize that like our bodies are decaying, right? Like this is not my home forever. Praise God. Like I only need this to last, you know, I don't know. Some people live 200. Like that's the maximum number of years, right? And there's more after that, right? So this isn't the end. And I think our culture kind of freaks out because for many, sadly, this is the end. Right? This is all they've got. So they've got to cling to it tightly because it's drifting away. It's slipping out of their fingers. But for us, Rachel, this isn't all we have. So we can have peace in this reality that, yep, okay, it's true. This body is decaying. But I have great hope that God can still use me. I'm not aging out of relevance. There's truth all throughout scripture. You know, gray hair is called a crown. Okay, now I don't know about you. I may have worn a tiara at my wedding, but I haven't worn very many crowns. Like that's not a thing that I do. But crowns are normally good things, right? You get a crown because you have won something. You've been awarded something. And so scripture calls this gray hair a crown. It's a reward. You've been given something wonderful. You've earned, you know, the prize of a longer life, right? And then thinking about like Titus and how we're encouraged as older women to pour in to the younger women, right? Like for us to think that we don't have relevance now, that we're you know, because we're of a certain age, it's not biblical, right? Like, younger women need the wisdom that's been hard earned in our lives, right? We have a job to do. We have a role as older women, especially in the church. And so I think making peace with the reality that it's going to happen, this isn't the body we're going to have for eternity. We've got something else after this to look forward to, and God still has something for us to do here and now. That's really exciting and fun. Mm-hmm. I think that's how we make peace with it.
Yeah, you know, and this isn't a shameless plug about my devotional, but, you know, I wrote all about significance and where we're finding significance, where we're finding our worth, where we're finding our value. And I do think what you've been saying is so many of us find our value in our appearance.
Yeah.
And that will not last. That can go away at any age, even if you had an accident of some kind or, you know, just a sickness, like that. We cannot put our value in something that will not last. The only place that we can get our value is through Christ and Him working in us. And so I love so much of this message and really feel like it is so important for all of us to hear, no matter what age we are. And as you were researching, was there anything surprising that you discovered about women and aging?
Well, 25-year-olds, according to some studies, they worry more about aging than any other age group.
Wow, really?
It's called gerascophobia, is the fear of aging. And so that was surprising. But there was a study where they asked people if they would go back to being 30. And we're talking about people over the age of, I believe it was over the age of 60. And every single one of them said no. 100% no way would I go back to being 30. And there's something called, I think it's called the happiness you. I don't know who to attribute it to, but that's the term. It's the happiness you. And it's like, according to their studies, people are like happy in their like 20s, and then your happiness kind of starts dipping in your 30s and your 40s. And then at 50 is when you start to go back up again. And the happiest people, according to this research, they report their best age, their happiest age, as being 70. So isn't that, I mean, that's research. That's not like, you know, from the Bible. But isn't it interesting how, like, even the data shows that aging is a gift and aging is a blessing. And yet the marketers want us to think aging, no, fight it. It's bad. But yeah.
That is interesting to me too. And maybe it's because you start to get just comfortable in your own skin, and really know who you are and who Christ calls you to be. And maybe you have a little bit more time to, I don't know what it is. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were talking about significance and your awesome devotional, but I was thinking about the reality that, like, once you, if you are trying to derive significance from the way you look, like, at a certain point, you no longer get that as an option, right? And so you're kind of forced into finding joy elsewhere, hopefully in the Lord, right? You're forced into finding your identity and significance in Him. And so that's where the peace comes. So maybe if it takes to 70 and takes the outer beauty fading, you know, that's all part of His good plan to help us, help sanctify us and show us, you know, what life's really about and how we can find the peace and rest we long for.
What is something that you're loving right now? This is a question I've been asking all of my guests. So it can be something superficial or something biblical. It doesn't matter. There's no rules.
Oh, Rachel, maybe I should be embarrassed to say this, but I am on the castor oil train. Have you heard about the castor oil phenomenon? Oh boy. Oh no. I'm afraid I may have led you to a deep, dark place. No, you know, castor oil. So talking about aging, like, castor oil is something like our grandmothers used a lot, and it is coming back, and women are using it for everything. And so I'm like sleeping with castor oil packs, and I think it's like helping me sleep better. And I'm rubbing it all over my eyelashes because they're not growing. And let me tell you that it comes in a big glass bottle, so I don't think you would mix it up with your other potions if you want to try it. But yeah, I'm all about the castor oil now.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to research all the benefits of this. It's interesting. Okay. Okay. And then, you know, we've talked about some scripture and you've mentioned, you know, Titus 2, but is there any other biblical concept of love that applies to this concept that you would want to encourage us with today?
Yeah. I mean, Rachel, the biggest thing that I see and try to encourage the women I work with who struggle with body image or aging or both, right, is that our real purpose here is to love God and to love others. And to whatever degree these struggles, right? And I don't think God's angry with us for struggling in any sense of the word, right? Like, you know, he understands our humanness and that, you know, these challenges are real. But to whatever degree these struggles are distracting us from our real mission here, which is to love God and to love others, I think we're missing out on what life's all about. Right. So I think the most important thing is that we don't let our fears around aging or our concerns around body image distract us from doing what he's called us to do. And that's love others well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just thinking it says we're created in his image. Mm. And, you know, whether it's hard to know and interpret scripture, you know, 100% as we are right now, but that isn't a certain age. You know, it's not like when we were born, we were created in his image, or when we're 20 or when we're 50 or when we're 70. It just says we're created in his image, no matter what age we are and what our body type is. And so I just want to encourage everybody with that as well. So as we close, Heather, would you mind to just pray for us?
No, I'd be honored. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for every woman listening today, Lord. I thank you for the way you made her and the good plan that you have for her life, Lord. To whatever degree today she's wrestling around getting older and all that comes with it, or just struggling with the way she looks, and maybe it's the fact that she doesn't look like she used to look, or maybe it's that she doesn't look like she wants to look, Lord. I pray that you'll touch her heart. Lord, that you'll show her how you see her, how you know her, and how you love her, no matter what her age or what her size, but that you long for her to see your beauty and to just reflect that. Lord, I just pray that you would bring freedom, that you would bring hope, that you would bring encouragement to every woman listening today. And help them to feel your love. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Heather, I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to. So tell us how we can best do that.
Absolutely. You can find me at my website, which is improvebodyimage.com, or you can find me on the Compared to Who podcast or Compared to Who on socials.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much for encouraging us today as we all age and as we're all trying to steward our bodies well. So I just appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Heather Creekmore. We hope that today encouraged you as you age gratefully. If you are interested in listening to previous podcast episodes, reading the blog series, and downloading free resources like the Love Offering Calendar to institute some of these ideas to love others in your life, you can download all those free resources at rachelkadams.com/free. Next week, my guest is Joel Mutamale. He is on the show talking about the hidden peace. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week, and as always, remember to lead with love.